This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
We are going to have a conversation with Dan Crane, forensic scientist and professor. Dan has almost become kind of our Bill Nye on the program, because he knows his stuff to such a scientific degree that it baffles the mind, number one, when you really get talking to him. But he's very good at communicating DNA science, forensic science, in a way that we all can understand. And what we're going to talk about today really kind of does need a lot of that. Dan actually sent me over a document earlier about the topic we're going to be talking about, which relates to DNA in the system, how it's used, the access that people have to it, or authorities have to it, or lack thereof in solving crimes. And interesting and sometimes disturbing matches that can be made within DNA where it's not always accurate. It can be sometimes due to human error. We're going to talk about all of that with Dan. And Dan, I'm just going to, I don't even know where to begin a question on this. So I'm just going to kind of open it up to you as we get this very interesting lesson in the criminal DNA databases.
So that letter to the editor of Science was published in 2009. And at that time, the National Offender Database had 7 million DNA profiles within it. Today, it has more than 13 million. So it's just about doubled since that was published. And, you know, there's a bunch of academics that are involved. And so there's lots of different strings that they want to get to pull at. Mm-hmm. The one that I get most excited about is the potential to identify error rates, or to determine errors mm-hmm. in DNA test results. And, you know, it comes down to this. About 15, 20 years ago, I was involved working for the government, actually, in an investigation for the state of Victoria in Australia. Mm-hmm. And as part of that, I had access to about 15,000 DNA profiles in their state offender database at the time. Those profiles had 18 markers that you could look at. So everybody was typed at a total of 18 different pieces of information. And when you did all possible pairwise comparisons of those 15,000 people, what you found is that there were a fair number that matched perfectly at 14 out of 18. Mm-hmm. There were fewer that matched at 15 out of 18, but still some. Fewer that matched at 16 out of 18, but still some. And then a whole bunch that matched at 17 out of 18, more than matched at 14 out of 18, and then a whole bunch that matched at 18 out of 18. And the only explanation for the ones that match at 18 out of 18, perfect matches, is these were people who were entered into the system twice. You know, okay. Maybe they had an alias or whatever. But where it's interesting is the ones that match at 17 out of 18, because the only explanation for them is those are people that got entered twice, but there was a mistake in one of the two times that their DNA got entered into the system. And that translated into an error rate of 1 in 300.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. And when you're talking about chances of a coincidental match in the quintillions or the bazillions, if you prefer,
yeah,
and yet you make a mistake every 300th time that you try to generate a DNA profile, the bazillion number doesn't matter anymore. It gets swamped out by that chance of making a mistake. And I think the general public should be very interested in that, because that if nothing else, that means that we have a pretty good potential to be missing opportunities to generate useful investigative leads, right? So if there's a DNA sample you collect from a crime scene, mm-hmm. and you don't have a suspect, and you search that CODIS database to see if you can find somebody who matches, you're, you know, unnecessarily having them, you know, every 300th time you do that, not to generate a lead. And I think that's an unacceptably high failure rate, given, you know, the consequences of having a rapist or a murderer that goes without being apprehended.
How would something like that be corrected? Because we are talking about, you know, something going wrong, some human error, if I'm correct, in terms of this information being inputted. Take that out of the equation, which I don't know that you really can, human error, unless we take humans out of the equation, which AI is doing a lot of. How do you correct something like that to make it more accurate?
Well, you know, one of the things that you might be able to, that you might find if you did that type of pairwise comparison of the 13 million profiles in the federal database, mm-hmm. is you might find that the errors happened much more frequently at one of the locations than at others. And, you know, we look right now, there are 13 CODIS loci that every laboratory generates test results for. Maybe one of those loci just is more error prone than others. Maybe the biology just doesn't work as well for that one locus, that one location. And when you do your database search, maybe you don't include that one, right? Uh-huh. Or maybe you include it in this, but you factor in that you discount it because that one is just more prone to having a mistake. So there's things like that that could be done in a way that would make the system work much better than it is.
What sort of issues are coming out within the system? What sort of complaints are investigators raising about the system as it is right now?
Well, you know, we're talking today in the wake of one of the largest intelligence leaks in the last decade, yeah. if not several decades, within the United States. Boy, the security associated with this CODIS database is clearly much better. Either that, or people are much less interested in it than what it is that the Pentagon is doing, because it's airtight. No one, aside from a very small number of people, has access to these profiles in the convicted offender database. And so that's a point of some concern. You know, secrecy, you know, the sunshine's the best disinfectant, right? And you know, there are times that the government should be maintaining secrets, but in a case like this, it seems like the reason that they are choosing to not share this information, as best as I can tell, is that it gives them the high ground. It prevents other people from drawing attention to flaws or faults or problems with what they've been doing, mm-hmm. and they'd rather forge ahead doing what they've been doing than have anybody take a look over their shoulder and see if there might not be some better ways to go about it.
Better ways to go about it or finding errors. So you're saying it's too locked down, where if more people had access to this in the correct positions, more could actually be done. More people could be identified. More criminals could be caught, or cases could be even solved by matching certain people to certain places that otherwise may not have been matched.
That's exactly right. And, you know, and again, that's the facet of this that I find most interesting and most appealing. But as I mentioned a bit ago, there's a good half dozen to maybe a dozen different other sort of esoteric population genetic kind of analyses that might be done as well that could have some important implications for how much statistical weight gets attached to samples, and could also be very helpful with the continued development of what are called probabilistic genotyping systems. These are expert systems that are used to interpret test results that human analysts say are just too complicated for them to be able to make sense of.
in the simplest terms to try and make us understand that better, what sort of things is that trying to identify? What is it combing through and finding results of that would be far more difficult for a human to go and translate that data?
Well, so those expert systems that are have been used now for about 5 to 10 years fairly widely across the world, they do many billions of calculations with the data that gets generated off of an evidence sample, and that enables them to much more sophisticatedly, perhaps is a way to put it, distinguish between what might be signal and what might be noise. And that sort of thing comes in very handy when you're dealing with a low-level sample, a small amount of DNA, or a sample where there's a lot of different contributors, so more than 3 or 4 contributors. Those sorts of test results can be very difficult for a human analyst to make sense of. And the human experts just end up scratching their head and saying, gee, I don't know. Is this a peak? Is this not a peak? Is this evidence of somebody's DNA, or is it just a stray bit of contamination? Those expert systems profess to be much better at making those decisions than humans are, just because of the sheer number of variables and computations that they're looking at.
Is this, I'm curious, is this using AI in some way, shape, or form to process that type of information?
You know, it's hard to say. AI is a somewhat nebulous concept in its own right. Mm-hmm. These are clearly expert systems. Nobody's going to disagree about that. But the people who have developed these expert systems have not been very open in terms of sharing what's under the hood.
Okay.
And when they do share, there are usually some pretty stringent non-disclosure agreements that are in play. So I need to be a little bit careful about what I say. But it's publicly known that some of the most widely used of those programs have hundreds of thousands of lines of computer code that underlie them. So this isn't like a simple, you know, Excel spreadsheet sort of thing.
No,
these are, you know, serious computer science undertakings.
How interesting.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Dan Crane, forensic scientist and professor, thank you so much for that lesson and understanding DNA and the databases, how they're used and how they can be improved in time. If you like the show, be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any breaking updates or discussions on the cases we're following for you right here. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.